Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, our Friday afternoon betting show. No Rich Rebar, no Lord Reeves from Sharp Football this week. His kids are sick. It's a mess at the Rebar household. So we are subbing in Dalton Cates from the Stealing Lines Substack. I am a loyal Stealing Signals subscriber. Can't miss it. I think these guys pushed an official play on Geno Smith 300-1 for MVP last week. You know, chasing that closing line value. Dalton, man, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, man. Happy to be on here. It's crazy. There's a lot of pressure now. I'm subbing in for Big Rich, so I'm just trying to keep expectations in check right now, and hopefully I can do a nice little substitute action here like Geno Smith did with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would be hard for there to be a bigger discrepancy between two substitutes than Geno and Russ, but we'll see what we can do.
I never compared Rich to Russell Wilson in Denver, just Russell Wilson in Seattle, which is
just Russell Wilson in Seattle. Yeah, and it'll work out, because mostly I'm firing takes. We had an all-time example last week of Rich getting me on the Bengals. I kind of wanted to take the Saints, and then he pointed out to me that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase would be returning to the stadium where they won the college football playoff in. So you got to, I'm probably not going to listen to any of the DVOA yards per play stuff. You got to sell me with a good old fashioned narrative
based stuff. All right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go, we go from 5 to 1. I'll let you go first. So from your fifth favorite pick against the spread is Hoomst this week.
I got Baltimore -6.5 against the Browns.
This is also my five.
Okay. So I don't have to sell any narratives here, man.
No narratives.
My biggest thing is, I think Bateman coming back is big. They've averaged 7.7 yards per attempt with Bateman, 6.0 without Bateman this year. Baltimore is just a better team. I think if there's one scenario in which the Browns do go ahead and beat them, and it's in that rushing game, like the Ravens have not been that good against the Russians. I mean, the leading rusher in the league right now is Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt is also doing well. They're fourth in DVOA in rushing right now. So I think that's the one biggest mismatch. But every other part of the game, it looks like the Ravens attack them in. Getting 6.5 is nice, because you're not laying that 7 right there, which is a big number. That's my biggest that's my lean right there at the Baltimore right there. I think Bateman and this passing attack is going to have some fun this week, whereas I feel like they're going to be forced to do it, and Lamar running a little bit extra when Bateman has been in the lineup too. So overall, it's just a better quarterback when all things are considered.
My data take on this game would be that the Browns' run defense is actually egregious. Like they're like 31st in DVOA against the run. I think they're missing three starters on the defensive line this week. So you have a bad run defense. You're subbing in backups there. So one, Baltimore wants to play an inefficient style anyways. They want to run more than an efficient team should. And I expect them to be pretty successful when passing. And I also think the Browns are a little overvalued on the market anyways, yeah, because of some of the early season success kind of being baked into their yards per play. Like my prior on Jacoby Brissett is that he's like 5.8 adjusted yards per attempt over his career, and he's playing more like a 6.5 guy. And I would like, And also, if you want to beat the Ravens, like, you got to throw on them because their secondary is horrendous. You got to throw deep. And it's like, well, I mean, how does this bet lose? Well, I mean, like, I guess 120-yard Amari Cooper game, Donovan Peoples-Jones, like 11 targets all deep down the field. But by and large, you just think, like, it's Lamar is going to get it done. I mean, yeah, like,
yeah,
come on, he's not losing to Jacoby Brissett, bro.
I think so. This might be my narrative take on this. Was it last year that the Ravens were playing the Browns when Lamar had his big old poop game? Was it the Browns?
Oh, was that it?
I don't know if he's playing the Browns. I don't know.
I think it was a Monday Night Football game where he limped off and Trace McSorley came in. It was definitely a Browns game. 100%.
Okay. I mean, so the narrative here is that he might not have to go to the bathroom this game. So you don't have to worry about a backup quarterback going in.
I think the better narrative is just that the Ravens got to take a long, hard look in the mirror because they just lost to the fucking Giants. And you can't, I don't think you can look at yourself in the mirror if you lose on a fourth quarter interception against the Giants. All right. So that was both of our number fives. Knock that out. What is your number four?
All right. This one is kind of gross, but I'm going Broncos +1.
Absolutely unbettable. Not a chance. This one can make it on my list. I get it, but just
they covered the spread last week somehow against the Chargers, which I thought was impressive. The thing is, okay, first off, they're home and their defense is like really good. They're their top three unit right now, in defense. And dude, I think the Jets are so fluky, man. I don't know what's going on over there with Elijah Moore. I think Elijah Moore actually being out of that lineup, potentially when active, like actually hurts a lot because
he is going to be inactive. They're going to play. The issue though is no one wants to admit it. I mean, Braxton Berrios is a competent NFL wide receiver.
Yeah.
No one wants to have their name on that take, but he is.
There we go, Davis Maddock, stamp of approval right there. So my biggest concern is Surtain has proven this year that he is an absolute lockdown cornerback. And he's gone against some really, really good wide receivers and basically just locked all of them down. And, you know, if Garrett Wilson is probably the Jets wide receiver one, I know they can utilize him in the slot a little bit to get him away from coverage from Surtain. But for the most part, like, without Elijah there, like, Elijah would have been taking that coverage away, and you could have had some good matchups with Wilson and Davis there. I mean, it's basically going to be, like, how good is Breece Hall? And can Breece Hall, like, single-handedly take on this Broncos attack?
I think it's more about just can Zach Wilson be as good as Joe Flacco? Like, I think it's more about Wilson's ability to game manage than anything else.
Yeah, but I don't think Zach Wilson is good, and I'd rather take a top three defensive unit against Zach Wilson plus money at home. I know it's so gross to bet on the Broncos, but I don't know. I mean, even if we get like Brett, I don't know if Brett Ripien somehow makes his way in there, that might be better for the Broncos. Who knows? But I think there's a lot of scenarios in which the Broncos defense just does enough to get good field position, potentially create some turnovers in which they can win this game.
So this is the issue again on like one, even like looking at the data, like the first 2 weeks of the season, there was like a good argument for the Broncos. Like the yards per play was fine. They were just like really struggling in the red zone. But like the last month, all that stuff's gone away. And now they're like a really bad team in yards per play on offense. And I mean, certainly I would not bet the Jets in this spot. The issue with betting on the Broncos is like, and I think this is a blind spot for you know, young dudes like us who love the numbers. I mean, these Broncos dudes like don't even want to play. I mean, that seems to be like an issue is like the team, like we got like the vet, like team captains mad at the coach because he benched Melvin Gordon without talking to him. And then, you know, Hackett saying, okay, Melvin Gordon's going to start, but Boone's going to play and Latavius is going to play. It just feels like betting into a chaotic scenario. But if none of that stuff matters, like if the guys just go out and they do their best or whatever. I mean, the Broncos on a neutral field before the season, what was the look ahead line on this game? I mean,
but my guess would be like 7.5.
Seven and a half. Yeah. So and it's like, yeah, the Broncos are horrible, but at least the defense isn't getting skinned. Like there's a difference between being a bad team on offense that just needs a couple good, like one KJ Hamler fluky deep ball touchdown. And it feels like feels like a 10-point deficit for the Jets is like completely insurmountable. Like they could not get out of that in any scenario, especially without Elijah Moore. Cause Elijah Moore is still, I mean, like he's still better than Corey Davis, who actually bailed them out against the Packers. Right. That's actually why they won, was they got like a 60-yard fluke bomb to Corey Davis. So this one is not on my list. My number four is the Kansas City Chiefs -2 points against the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, I think at two, it just like doesn't matter. You're just predicting who wins the game. I don't love that this is like, it's the squarest bet you can make is Kansas City in this spot. It's like, you know, the FanDuel Sportsbook's going to tweet out on Sunday morning, 77% of tickets are on the Kansas City Chiefs. But the 49ers have the same problem they have always had, which is down 10 points. They are completely dead. They were most Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo era 49ers thing of all time. They're down 21 points to the Falcons last week. And in the third and fourth quarter, they generate a 14-play, 80-yard touchdown drive where it's like, yeah, if you're up 10 points, that's the nuts. If you're down, like you're just costing yourself win expectancy with that drive. And the 49ers also have a rash of defensive injuries. Like I think they're missing one corner, one safety. And I think Bosa is hurt too. That I might be making that up, but
I don't know if he's going to play. I think maybe questionable for the game, but that's definitely like, there's so many injuries on that team right now.
That dude is worth like at least half a point. I think he's really, especially against Kansas City, who Mahomes is a magician at not getting sacked. But the issue is playing with these horrible wide receivers is that a lot of those magic plays he used to do that would turn into 80-yard touchdowns to Tyreek turn into like Marquez Valdes-Scantling drops. Like that the Marquez Valdes-Scantling touchdown that got intercepted by Khalil Elam, like old Mahomes and old Tyreek are like turning that play into a touchdown like 80% of the time, and instead it was a turnover. So I'm not going crazy on this one. Obviously, I think the Chiefs are a little bit better than the market does right now. Like Ben Baldwin does those charts looking at futures lines to see like a hierarchy of teams. And the look ahead lines kind of have the Chiefs as like kind of the third best team, fourth best team. I think they're a little bit better than that. And I really hope they trade for a wide receiver. But yeah, I do think this is a good spot for Kansas City.
Yeah, Casey needs to get on the line with Elijah Moore right now and get him over there.
Odell. I mean, Elijah Moore would give them certainty for the future, but I would take Odell.
I think Odell's going to end up signing there. I actually bet them a couple days ago to head over there. My number three is Casey as well, -2. And I actually think there might be more people on the Niners than we think. And that's the whole Christian McCaffrey thing coming back. Like, we know he's probably not going to play much, but anytime you see a trade, like, just naturally you're going to assume that, oh, Christian McCaffrey's going to bring this immediate, like, you know, next level type of, you know.
McCaffrey doesn't solve their problem, which is their quarterback. I mean, at the end of the day, the 49ers problem is that they have a C+ quarterback when they could be Super Bowl favorites with, like, I think if Kirk Cousins was on the 49ers, I legit think they could win the Super Bowl.
100%. I mean, their defense is elite, and you've got weapons that, I mean, if you look at their entire offensive roster outside of the quarterback, I mean, you can make an easy argument they're top five offense in the league. And I mean, you got basically all the scenarios there in order to every single week be in games and whatnot. But I mean, I think Kansas City, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, when you look at teams, the most position is quarterback, the biggest position is quarterback. And you got Patrick Mahomes versus Jimmy Garoppolo in this game. And I think that's the deciding factor right now is you have that massive disadvantage that the Niners are unlikely to overcome. And I mean, it's hard for me, especially Chiefs coming off of a loss, to see them lose two in a row, especially because Mahomes are playing great with some ancillary guys this year. Niners are banged up on defense. I think the Chiefs are a nice play this week.
Yeah, let's do the McCaffrey fantasy talk too here. I was gonna do this with Rich. This is my take. It's like, obviously it's good for McCaffrey, like, to not be on the worst team in football. You are probably gonna need a trade-off with efficiency for volume. Like, I don't think he's going to be getting 10 targets a game in this offense. I think he'd get like five, which is fine. If you're trading, if Christian McCaffrey scores 10 more touchdowns the rest of the way, that is a great trade-off for the volume that he would have been getting in Carolina. And like also like in a weird way, he also has like contingent value too. Like if Debo were to get injured, if Ayuk were to get injured, I think he obviously would get more. I think the biggest loser is Debo. I bet Debo will not get, I would set the line at like 1.5 rushing touchdowns the rest of the way for Debo. Whereas like you could have told yourself a story where Debo scored like every red zone rushing touchdown for this team the rest of the season. Cause they haven't used Jeff Wilson there at all. Time remains to see what they would, I guess we'll never know what they would have done with Elijah Mitchell, but it feels bad for Debo in particular.
Oh, 100%. It seems like their skill sets overlap a little bit. Like I was joking on Twitter yesterday, like I put out their offensive roster and I put Debo at running back and Christian McCaffrey at wide receiver. And it's like, when you look at the way they utilize Debo Samuel, it seems like Christian McCaffrey is going to have a lot of those similar type of plays. And my biggest concern with McCaffrey right now is, like you mentioned, I'm not sure that targets are necessarily going to be there. Like, you know, Shanahan runs his running backs like, you know, 15, 20 times a game on the ground. And there should be a lot more scoring opportunities for McCaffrey, which is obviously a plus. And if they are, I'm sure they're going to scheme a lot for McCaffrey in the receiving game as well. The question is, now, how much do guys like Kittle and Ayuk and Debo get involved, and how much?
I mean, Kittle's dead anyway. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to a real one.
The funny thing about Kittle is he's so good, but like for the most part, he's gonna have really bad games. But then he just reels you in. He'll have one game randomly where he'll have like 130 yards, and you're like, "That's the Kittle I know." And then in my mind, I'm always a big Kittle guy, but. You're right. Like it's that's probably going to hurt Kittle a little bit as well too. I'm not sure. I think Ayuk's probably the one that's not going to get affected too much by this.
Ayuk is, I mean, all these guys, it's the 49ers offense is really low volume anyway. So all these guys are pretty touchdown dependent. And now you're sweating like four guys to be touchdown dependent. Unless they end up changing their offense a little. I mean, they did throw a bunch of times last week because they were down. They're going to throw a bunch this week. They do play at the Rams, which I guess they probably just win that game running the ball. But then after the bye, they have Chargers, Cardinals, Saints, Dolphins. So maybe the volume actually will be okay because those will at least be competitive games.
I do have faith that Shanahan will utilize McCaffrey in a more ideal role than he's used running backs in the past. Like I don't think you're making this trade to not understand McCaffrey's full skill set and like, hey, let's take away some rushing here if we can get, you know, a 3-yard dump off and just, I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's a little more efficient for you to dump off and throw the ball a little bit. Like, I mean, a logic, that's the way I'm thinking it through. I mean, I don't know if it's actually gonna happen, but I like to think that this is an absolute smash for McCaffrey and that every aspect of his game can be elevated.
Yeah. I guess that's the other thing is like 18 rushing attempts per game for McCaffrey, probably pretty good, right?
Yeah,
like
that offense.
Like he'll probably run for like 85 yards a game on average with the way Shanahan dials stuff up. So clearly it's a win. And yeah. I do think CMC at one drafters who did this all off season, like I'm waking up with the bags feeling better than I did when I went to sleep. But I'm such an old man. I went to sleep and I woke up and I saw that Chuba Hubbard went for $30 of fab in my home league. And I was like, what the hell did I miss? Like, and then I checked my email. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. Okay. So that was my number four, your number three. So we're to my number three, which is the Tennessee Titans minus 2.5 points at home to the Colts. The Colts, two of the most anomalous performances of the season, the home win against the Kansas City Chiefs in the 58 passing attempt game from Matt Ryan last week with Jonathan Taylor out. So I just think like one, I'm just throwing that Chiefs game entirely out. That's pretty baked in to their results, to the way the market is perceiving them. Like, oh, you beat the Chiefs at home. Like, it's a pretty good team. Like the Chiefs gave up like 19 expected points on special teams in that game. And also, I think they're getting Jonathan Taylor back this week. They're going to go back to playing bad. They're going to go back to running the ball every first down. It's going to be 2nd and 8. Matt Ryan with the noodle arm. And they play this really inefficient style of like Michael Pittman only runs short routes and they just throw these long balls to Alec Pierce. He's the only guy on the team who has an average depth of target over 10. And the Titans are not a good team either. Like they kind of stink, but at least they have a better idea of who they are. That's a big narrative thing. They play the same style every week. They'll do different things with like play calling and personnel, but they're not just showing up every week being like, okay, this week Ryan Tannehill is going to throw 60 times. And I actually do kind of like betting on the Titans because they don't give up leads once they get them. Like my biggest play of the year was when they played at the Washington Commanders. Like they just don't lose to teams like that. And I honestly view the Colts as very similar, just like a pretty like a C-plus talented team, but with a quarterback that has a really wide range of negative outcomes. I want the Titans in that spot.
Yeah, I think that's fair. When I saw that game, my first reaction's like, I don't want to bet either of these teams, but I think you made a good argument for the Titans there. And the Colts are just like, you don't know what to expect.
Do anything on any given week.
Exactly. And I think that's the toughest part to gauge with that is like, okay, is Jonathan Taylor going to come back? But last time he ran against the Titans, like they completely shut down Jonathan Taylor. And he also got hurt in that game. Is he going to be fully healthy? I don't know. So yeah, I think it's a fair.
I'm never rushing to get it in on the Titans. The one thing is that I really do hope the Titans get a playoff game though, because that'll be a generational wealth spot betting against Mike Vrabel against one of these elite AFC teams. And I guess it would be a home game for them too. So they would even be maybe even giving points to one of these teams. So that is a spot I'm definitely looking forward to. So that's my three. So what is your two?
My number two, I got the Steelers +7.5 against Miami Sunday night. Man, dude, Kenny Pickett. We got to talk about Kenny Pickett.
Oh my God. I am so sick of talking about Kenny Pickett. I've been arguing about Kenny Pickett with Liam for like 3 weeks now.
So the funny thing is I've been arguing against. So this is the first time I've been pro Kenny Pickett. This year is Gretch, obviously, massive Pickett fan.
Loves Pickett.
My roommate is like, I'm also a massive Kenny Pickett. So I each have a main with Gretch and a main with him. And this is just all the time. We need Kenny Pickett. I'm like, dude, his schedule fucking sucks. It sucks. But this is the one spot in which like he has a legitimate opportunity to do well. And he performed better than I thought against the Bills. And then he came out last week and had a nice little drive at the beginning before getting hurt. It looks like he's going to play this week. The thing is, he has weapons, right? So we saw Claypool finally do something like the first like big game since, I don't know, his rookie year or whatever the heck it was. But he has Claypool. He has Deontay Johnson. He has George Pickens. And Najee Harris just sucks, man. Like, and the thing is, the Miami.
Oh, he's so bad, dude. Najee Harris, so bad.
Dude, I'm pretty sure like, for every single, this is an exaggeration, but every single touch that Najee Harris gets, I swear they lose like a point on the spread. Like it's ridiculous. Like just the Miami defense is the 7th best rush DVOA team. They're 31st in pass D. Pittsburgh has the 5th highest pass rate over expected when Pickett started in week 5. And Miami's teams they're going against are the 3rd highest pass over or 2nd highest pass rate over expected. They've given with the third least amount of pressure on defense. So like for rookie quarterbacks, we want to see them like that's the thing that usually hurts them and they don't know when they're adjusting to the NFL and the speed is when they're getting pressured, like the thought process and the way they're schemed up. Like they need a simplistic way to get adjusted to the NFL. And this is the perfect spot where he's going to have time to sit there, has three guys who can do different things within the offense. Deontay Johnson can get open basically at will. And he has Pickens making plays for him. Claypool's there. They're 7.5-point dogs. It's just a perfect situation where I think, you know, Pickett can, you know, make things happen, and Najee Harris just sucks. And this, the strength of the Miami defense is run D. Like they should give the ball to Najee Harris maybe like 4 times just out of respect for that, and then give Jaylen Warren maybe some more carries. But it should be just like put the ball in Pickett's hand, make it happen this game. And if they do that, like I don't see why they can't somewhat, you know, keep pace with this Dolphins team in a Sunday night game.
Well, you're putting a lot on Pickett because like it's actually, I would not have projected this, but the Dolphins offense is like a lot worse without Tua in. Yeah. Like you would kind of think, oh, they got Waddle, they got Tyreek, you know, it's like, what is Tua really doing? You know, Tua is Jimmy G-ing it up or whatever, kind of, but like they were, I mean, they were a lot worse with Skylar Thompson and then like meaningfully worse with Bridgewater. They're getting Tua back this week. The one thing that would make me want to bet on the Steelers would be thinking if Waddle doesn't play, because if Waddle doesn't play, then we're talking about like Trent Sherfield and Cedric Wilson having to play like prominent parts in this offense. I would not expect that to go pretty well. I would say like Waddle in and of himself is probably not worth like 2 points to a spread, but the difference from going from Waddle and Tyreek to just Tyreek is like at least to get it through the hook, right? Because right now it's 7.5 at most spots. And I would say I would definitely take Pittsburgh if I knew Waddle wasn't playing at 7.5. I would think it would move to 6.5. And I think Waddle didn't practice Wednesday and limited on Thursday. I don't know what he did today, but that's a pretty interesting spot. So wait, that was your two. My number two is, let's see, I got to look at my list. My number two is I just did my number two, the Titans. The Titans were my number two, right?
No, that thing is your three. I think okay. I've been
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I got my list pulled back up here. The Chargers minus 5 points. I mean, looks like Keenan Allen's going to play. I do actually think this is the kindest thing I've ever said about Keenan Allen on a show before. I actually do think that his specific role in this offense is really important because Herbert's natural inclination is to just try and get a billion points on every play. It's like these guys in baseball who try to hit the 8-run home run or whatever. And like, that's always what Herbert's trying to do. And having DeAndre Carter and Michael Bandy and these guys out there running just these total no ones running routes. So like, he's just trying to push it to Mike Williams, who last week was covered by Patrick Surtain, or Josh Palmer, who is like the most overrated. Like the fantasy community fell so in love with this guy and he just is not very good. And also, it's like, I know we all love this Geno storyline and everything, but the Seahawks defense is horrible. I believe they're still last. After last week, they might be a little bit better, but they were last in the NFL in yards per play. You know, Kenneth Walker, he is actually pretty good, but like, I would be more on the side of like trying to short Geno being an MVP candidate than betting on it to continue. And I don't bet on the Chargers very often, so it's got to be like a really good spot. And I think them getting less than a touchdown at home against this team that, I mean, is in the end going to win like four games. Like, it's a fun story or whatever, but they're not very good. So I'm on the Chargers here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the Chargers is so good, especially against that defense. They can kind of do whatever they please, get Eckler involved, get Herbert involved. Like, I just don't know too many scenarios in which they stop him. And I think really the only way that Seattle has a chance in this game is by gashing that, you know, terrible run defense that the Chargers have. So, I mean, it's going to be, I think that's the way that you attack it if you're Seattle. But, I mean, I don't know. The Chargers, it's like, who would you rather bet on? Would you rather bet on Kenneth Walker and the Seahawks offense, or would you rather bet on Justin Herbert just shredding that terrible defense? And it's like pretty much a no-brainer right there.
I mean, I'm like a notorious Chargers hater. I love to point out that Justin Herbert has a losing record as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And like, obviously it's because I'm so biased towards the Chiefs, but people have been doing this, oh, it's the Chargers division thing now for like, it feels like since Justin Herbert was good in his second game as a professional, and there's work left to go. But I do think the Allen thing back for them is pretty big. All right. So we are down to both of our number one. I bet mine's pretty gross, so I bet it's not yours.
Okay. Because I was kind of curious. I was the way things are trending, I was wondering if we're going to have the same one, but mine's Jaguars. Minus three.
Yeah. That's also mine.
Yeah. I'm just like, dude, you're telling me. So we know that teams get 3-point advantages for being at home, right? So you're telling me on a straight up neutral field, the Jaguars and the Giants are the same. Like, dude, I just want to, there's no way that you can tell me the Giants are going to be 6-1 in the NFL. Like the New York Giants, with
if their record, so if they lost last week, what do you think this spread would be? I bet it'd be Jaguars 5.5. Oh, yeah, if they lost last week.
I don't get it, man. Like, okay. The Giants have overperformed. They've probably been better than we expected, but they're still not that good of a football team. Like they have the 29th DVOA defense right now. Jacksonville is 10th in DVOA defense and they're 11th in offense. They're like the eighth team in DVOA right now. The Giants are like 18th. Like if you look at their expected win percentage or win, I think the Jaguars are, you know, the same as the Giants right now. And they're getting home. Like one of the biggest strengths for the Giants has just been how good Saquon Barkley's been on offense. And the Jaguars are eighth right now in explosive run rate allowed. So, yeah. And I mean, you got to give props to Brian Daboll because he's really done a lot of good things.
He's been great. We can acknowledge that he's been good while also acknowledging they've been running hot and that this style of football of just like hiding your quarterback and expecting your star running back to do it for you every single week is like just not long-term sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, they're still the fifth in the NFL right now in first down run rate. It's just so frustrating to see a team utilize this talent profile, this offense, and be winning games. It's just frustrating as a football fan. I'm like, dude, I just want like teams that have good players and teams that are passing the ball a ton and utilizing their offense in efficient ways to win football games. And I just can't bet on teams that are winning like this. And it's frustrating, but I'm full fading the Giants. I almost want to just fade the Giants to not even make the playoffs right now. 5-1. That's how well they're playing over expectation right now. It's crazy.
Well, I think they're probably not going to make the playoffs, right? Because they have to, so they're only two games up on or they're only one game up on Dallas. So they basically have to be better than Dallas for the rest of the season. And they're not going to win the division because the Eagles are going to win the division. Like the Eagles will probably beat the Giants twice. So it's that just that, like, I don't think they will. I think I would bet against them to make the playoffs.
The biggest issue right now is when you look at the rest of the NFC, right? Packers 3-3. They've been terrible. Rams 3-3. Like, are you betting on one of those teams to make the wild card? Probably. And then it's like, okay, so you have to get the Rams and the Packers in the playoffs and then the Cowboys in the playoffs. Cause I don't think, unless you think like the Falcons make the playoffs, I mean, maybe at this point, who knows?
I guess it's just the NFC is horrible, really, at the end of the days, is what it is. Yeah. But the Jaguars feel it's also one of those things where it's like the books keep getting money on the Giants and they are not moving the line, which doesn't happen very often and isn't generally a leading indicator of anything because the books generally just keep the line at what they think is the right line. They don't, it's, you know, this whole like encouraging 50-50 action thing is not true. So if they think the right line is the Giants are better or that the Jaguars are better, like I'm going to go ahead and run with that.
100%. I think I saw a tweet this morning. I think MGM's biggest liabilities this week are on the Giants and Jets winning. So that's a good sign if you're taking Jaguars. They're holding firm.
Yeah. All right, man. There we go. We picked some games. Tell the people how to subscribe to Stealing Lines, what they get, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So if you want to subscribe to Stealing Lines, go to our substack.stealinglines.com. You can go subscribe. We have football picks throughout the rest of the season. Ben does a lot of spreads and totals. I focus a lot on like player props right now, so you can do that. We have a cool announcement coming out later today that may or may not involve another sport coming out on Stealing Lines. So this is a nice little teaser that nobody else has heard yet, Davis. So heard it here first. But so you can go follow us there. I'm doing a lot of work right now, doing some articles up on Mojo, a lot of historical, more like dynasty related stuff, but that correlates to Mojo and all their stock and share prices. So that's where you can find me.
All right, there we go. Everyone, you can follow at Dalton_Cates on Twitter. You can subscribe to the Stealing Lines Substack, and I'll be back with Rich next week, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.